And right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we have two folks in our combat booth in the middle studio right now.
No Ann?
Not yet. She's not here yet, unless she she's
hiding. Can't hide.
Hiding, no.
I don't know.
So who's in there with you?
Who's Quincy, who are you?
I'm Quincy.
Quincy.
Are you John Adams. Quincy Adams?
Quincy Adams.
Quincy loves AM, the cat.
Yes. FM kind of freaked out by him, but FM's freaked out by
naturally,
everybody.
Naturally, what happened was, of course, you came during eating time.
I know. I didn't want to say, don't go in there. They don't like it when you
I know.
So,
but you know how animals are perceptive.
It's a good thing they're not great white
they
sharks.
They kind of knew.
Yeah, they felt it. They felt our aura. Yeah.
All right. Let's welcome in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Good. How is everybody?
We are just fine and dandy. Everybody survived that thunderstorm in the middle of the night last night?
That was quite a storm. There were we had the broadcastified scanner app on the phone going, and there were power lines on fire. Hard to imagine how there could be fire in all that rain, but
it was amazing. It was amazing. There was some strikes at my house that were instantaneous, where you had the blue lightning and the thunder, and your hair grows up on end.
Oh, really?
All at once, yeah.
I could feel my bed shaking last night.
Yeah, that's what. Well, the whole house was shaking. Yeah. It just lasted for.
Then
finally,
it just kept going. Yeah. But yeah, it was funny because on Music Mountain, that you could see the 360-degree panorama of lightning forks, but the thunder was not as close.
Thunderous for us, anyways. All right. Well, let us go to the very colorful, might I say, edition of the Lakeville Journal this week. Right there on the front page, the covered bridge. Well, actually, to be closed basically for about a month. If they can do that, it won't damage too much what the bridge supplies in the fall.
Can I quickly comment too that the reason why Bernie Drew, our front page editor, chose the combination of colors of red and yellow is that this is the first issue of our new year of publication. So we are now beginning our 122nd year of publishing the Lakeville Journal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what the symbolism is of the yellow and the red together, but he felt it was, I guess, celebratory. So that is why it's so
bright. Like fireworks. And you can tell that by reading where we have at the top of the page how many pages and sections we have. We also say volume 122, number one.
Number one.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
So the covered bridge, yes, is a big deal, and they're closing it for a month. And they're finding that the way that the boards are laid out is leading to damage of the understructure, which of course is a big deal, and it's a very distinctive sound. If you've ever crossed that bridge, you know it's kind of like da-dunk, 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 as you're driving. So the new bridge will not make that charming sound. It's kind of like the way that we all remember screen doors. You would always hear the squeak and the smack of the door closing, and I think people miss that. But there will be no more pa-pum, pa-pum, pa-pum as you cross the covered bridge when they're done with their work.
We'll see. It'll come back. It'll come back with age.
I guess.
Yeah, will we be here? I don't know.
I don't know.
Will the understructure be there? That's the
right.
All right. Bob Green has been holding clinics basically his whole life, for the last 20 or 30 years, about the dangers of driving. And you've got a story on that.
So Bob Green was a race car driver, professional race car driver, and he was also a teacher at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and he combined those two interests, and he's very passionate about this, about teaching drivers to drive more safely and to be more defensive, but also to not be what he calls dumb while driving. So he feels very strongly about people texting and about people leaning over. I've been going to his talks for so long that I remember when he used to say, if you lean over to pick up a CD off your floor, that takes approximately, he had the time, like 30 seconds, and he said that's all the time that you require to get into a bad crash. And of course, now we don't use CDs, but we are all fiddling with our Spotify and our phones. It's the same thing. It's a form of distracted driving. So he did a class at Lime Rock Park last week, and we sent one of our young drivers, Arthur Potter, who was our intern until Tuesday, and it came back with some interesting information that you should read about in that article. But I would say it was a particularly important story to us. That's why it's on the top of the front page, because we've had 14 deaths in the tri-state area since May. And that's an unusually high number. And, of course, even one is too many. But, you know, I was Arthur and Quincy and I were driving back from Kent yesterday and saw two teenage girls had spun out right on Lime Rock Road, and it crushed the front of their car. So I know that at this time of year, we all forget I know that I do, and I find myself often driving above the speed limit, and I have to keep thinking, that's what everybody thinks just before they get in a crash, is that, well, I'm not going to crash. But a good article by Arthur, and definitely worth reading.
And just right with that article, today is the Remembering Lost Lives. It's going on from 6 to 8 p.m. at Housatonic Youth Services, which is on the campus of Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
That's right.
Primaries. I posted the other day. I hate primaries, and I'm really getting to hate. And I'm really getting to hate elections because
you could be a town clerk.
We just can't get away from them. But it's a more important. More Republicans are primarying than Democrats.
Yes, and none of our local candidates is primarying. I think we have a pretty clear sense of who's running for state rep, state senate. But yes, the primaries are coming up, and I would say I don't remember hearing this much about a primary in my years of working at the paper, which is since 1999. This is the year when I've had the most people calling me and saying, the primaries are coming up, the primaries are coming up, register for the primaries. So obviously this is a big deal. Do read Patrick's article, and it's like a scorecard of who's running and for what office.
All right. Remembering Lessons of Past Horrors, that's a peace vigil that was held in Winsted.
Right, and it's people from a peace action group, but also students from a summer camp in Tolland, Massachusetts, all came down, met in Winsted. There are quite a few of them. And, you know, it's at a time when we worry that young people don't remember World War II and don't know that there was a Holocaust, it's a good thing to see young people, and I would say based on this photo that there are quite a few people under 18, remembering the horrors of World War II and talking about Hiroshima and the atomic bomb and saying honk for peace.
You know, when I read Bernie Drew's article, Dodge 'em, I went back and I thought the first car I learned to drive on was a 58 Ford Galaxy with three on the tree. You know, where your shifting was done on the right on the steering
the
wheel.
Yeah.
And my first car I ever really purchased myself was a 1974 Dodge Dart sports convertible. So that's what's great about articles like this. It
takes you back.
Takes you back. Yeah. It ignites your memories, which is by comparing them to Bernie's memories.
Right, and of course, as you just announced a few minutes ago, coming up we have the spectacular Vintage Weekend at Lime Rock Park, and we're hoping that the rain will stop. But that's a great opportunity again for people to not only bring out their old cars, which are perfectly buffed and polished, but to see others and have that memory spark.
Absolutely. Now let's go right in because lots of color there with the Kent Sidewalk Festival.
The Kent Sidewalk Festival. You know, I went down there on, Friday last week and was with the interns and kind of said, oh, not much is happening, but let's just go down and take a look. We'll practice taking some photos. And it was packed.
Yeah.
The whole town was alive, and it happened to be one of those brief windows when it wasn't raining. But apparently it was a very, very successful Kent Sidewalk Festival. Thursday, I think, was a little quiet. I saw Ira Smith at Kent Wine and Spirit, who, of course, is the unofficial mayor of the town. And he said Thursday was quiet, but he said for the rest of the weekend, it was very, very busy.
Well, they always put their events together just unbelievably well and space them out.
Yeah.
I like flipping over, though, because once again, you've got three great stories. Coming Home to Salisbury, thanks to the Housing Trust. A story about Below the Salt, which I tried to get into the other day, but of course they weren't open because it was one of the days.
Hours, yeah.
And the Jack Brown Fair.
Well, let me quickly take you back to A2 because we went over to the depot, which was expected to open during railroad days. They were working very hard to get it open for railroad days, and of course they weren't able to get the certificate of occupancy. So I think people are reaching a pretty high level of frustration with the delays going on there. But there's a few things that have to still be done. I guess there's some permitting issues that maybe were not done as expeditiously as they could have been. But still, a lot of good positive energy there, and the guys at the brewery are sitting in their future restaurant space doing extensive planning, so it looks like it's really going to come together and be great. And Patrick Sullivan, who's always so funny, wrote the funniest story ever about the Habitat for Humanity sale, which I always think of as being Labor Day weekend, but of course it's not. And in fact, I was told yesterday that it's late this year. Usually it's the first weekend in August. This year it's this coming weekend, and it's always a great sale. Starts Friday night and continues through the weekend. So Tiffany Rivas, so there's, you know, one of the blessings of Salisbury is there's a lot of people confronting this problem of affordable housing, and one of them is the Salisbury Housing Trust, and they have the property, I think it's called the Dick Dunham Drive in memory of the late, very active housing advocate. And Tiffany Riva, who was a local girl, had gone off Had started a family and then found a need to come back to Salisbury and has moved into the house. And Patrick managed to find her at a happy rare moment when the children were off someplace playing. And she can catch a breath and start unpacking some boxes, but very happy to be back. And her dog looks as contented as can be. Ashley Baldwin went to the Jack Brown Fair 2 weeks ago, but we weren't able to run it last week. So a week late, but Ashley is fantastic. A very good writer, former intern, took a very sweet photo. And every time she writes about one of these ag fairs, I learn something. And she really understands it as a kid who grew up in farm country and just goes through it. And it's, I would have to say this is the best story we've ever had on a Jack Brown fair. So definitely the season of ag shows is beginning and will, of course, hit a big peak for us here with the Goshen Fair over Labor Day weekend. And there'll be the petting zoo from the Housatonic Valley Regional High School kids. And then it will move on to the bigger fairs such as the Big E. And then Below the Salt, I managed to get to the opening party on Thursday night last week, and it was fantastic. And believe it or not, he put out these two roasted pig heads, like the one he's got in that photo, and people dove on them. They were down to bone within, I'd say, 5 minutes. I never got to have a bite. They were great, and he had said he's making ramen noodles, which I was skeptical about, and they're great. So they'll be open Thursday through Sunday. We've got the hours in there, and they also have the tasting menus, which are special on Friday and Saturday nights. And do stop in there and say hello, and you don't need a reservation to go in and get a bowl of noodles.
All right, and you've got a whole page there of a weekend in Norfolk.
Norfolk is one of our smallest towns that we cover, but it's one of the ones that our readers are most interested in, and we're happy to have a full page dedicated to the three-day Weekend in Norfolk WIN Wind Festival. And Shaw, who's often at his best with these funny little festivals, just took a bunch of great pictures of everything from people showing off their pies, which is also a big feature of our area ag fairs, and a couple renewing their wedding vows. But best of all, in his opinion, was the hot dog eating contest. A professional from outside the area came to visit a family member.
All right. I want to move to the Sharon page because the Hotchkiss Library had their annual book signing. It's funny. I spoke to them at 3:30 and called them about a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And they asked me if they should put everything out. So I said, get everything under the tent because they construct the best tents for an event that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They've got channels where the water drains away from. So anyway, we had that heavy rain right up until it started. And then everything went perfect until, of course, Cynthia walked in and the power went out.
It's not my fault. It was Anne's fault. It was when Anne walked in. I just want to say that. So Anne and I walked in to take photos. And I had asked Anne to come because, of course, she's a world-class photographer. And I was there with my iPad. And you can't really photograph in the dimness of that room. And then, of course, Anne walked in and the power went out and there were no lights. But more important, there were no charge card machines. But she still managed to get these beautiful photos of one of Henry Alford, who Divya Simmers had written a very funny preview story about last week in Compass, and Adam Van Doren, who is featured in this week's Compass. And Tom Trowbridge and Gretchen Hockmeister, who organized it, sent a super sweet note that Janet has on the letters page explaining how they couldn't have done it without the help of the firefighters. And they asked us to please remind people this Saturday, August 11th at 11 a.m. at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, a party to honor those volunteers. And boy, are we grateful to them.
Oh, I want to thank Brian Ross. I thought he was there for a book, but no, he was a bartender.
He
was a great bartender.
Yeah, he did great. A lot of interesting people behind the tables serving and signing books too. It was super fun and very lively. And Janet, do you want to talk about it? Because you actually stayed longer than we did.
Oh, we did. My cousin and I went. She comes up from New Jersey each year for this event, and it's a lot of fun. So many interesting writers and, you know, books that if you were just browsing in a bookstore, you might not stop and take a look at, and you get a whole new understanding of it talking to the authors. It's such a great fundraiser, and so glad they persevered and it came out well.
It's the second time in that we had a heavy downpour, one of the year before that.
Yeah.
They just handle it. It is such a well-produced event. That's all I can say about it. And they got the credit card machines working eventually, and everything worked out. But then the next day in Sharon, the town green, a vendor showed up for that.
Which was surprising because it really was raining, and that really is much more it's impossible to.
It's at bay, yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
A lot of these vendors read the forecast. They come from literally 100, 150 miles away. And if they see rain in the forecast,
they just won't come.
They just don't want to come.
And actually, I didn't get the count of how many came, but it was apparently quite lively. Yeah. And Arthur and Patrick went and got a lot of pictures.
All right. Now, on the next page, you were just talking about ramen. There's Quincy Cabot's Summer Refreshing Wheat Free Noodle.
Want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So So I was doing a little bit of research on, so I actually recently went to Japan, and I was doing a little research on the on some of the foods that they had there, and soba is a very good replacement for a lot of the foods that we eat every day. You know, it's a lot healthier, and because it replaces wheat with buckwheat, it also has a lot of extra vitamins and nutrients.
It's interesting you say that. I ordered some buckwheat noodles for my house, but they're called buckwheat ramen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I thought I would hate them.
They're great.
Marshall's first exposure to buckwheat was get this out of my house, and then he had a conversion.
They were great.
Yeah, they're great.
They were absolutely great, especially with mushrooms. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're good with radishes. Cut up little radishes into sticks. They're great. I'll bring you some dipping sauce. But we're lucky we have the Sharon Farm Market and the Millington Fresh Market, and they have very extensive Asian food offerings, and they have very good buckwheat noodles and the dipping sauce.
All right. Everything is peachy. Summer hits its peak.
Oh, my God. It's been a great peach summer for me, except I would like to say the squirrels ate all the peaches off my two peach trees, so it's National Don't Break for Squirrels Month as far as I'm concerned. But Arthur Potter wrote a very nice article about eating peaches and the nutrients in them and the fact that they seem to be huge and sweet this year because of all the rain. And that photo, I made a bunch of pies and to photograph them because we have our annual farm-to-table food and farming supplement, which will be in our next week's issue, August 16th. And that's a pie that you can see I made it and then we ate it. But it's a great time of year to make a little galette, and you can find the recipe for a special gluten-free, sugar-free pie crust in Farm to Table.
All right, and insect repellent. There you go, DEET.
I just want to quickly, before I let Quincy talk about this, I want to say we went picking blueberries yesterday because that's what we do as Lakeville Journal interns is we pick blueberries. And I had some bug spray, and it's very buggy out there. And after he had written this entire article, he said, I don't think I've ever used bug spray before. But a very good article. So what did you learn in your article, Quincy?
So I kind of weighed the pros and cons of DEET. You know, it's really effective, and it can be incredibly useful to protect against diseases related to insects. But at the same time, when exposed to a large amount of DEET, people can have a lot of negative symptoms. And I listed a few alternatives to DEET, like the lemon eucalyptus, which is almost as effective, and it is definitely a viable replacement.
And Rick recommended by the CDC, lemon of oil eucalyptus, and he lists some of the products that include it if you want to buy it.
You know what works really well?
Staying indoors?
Yep. No. Amway used to make this body lotion, and people would buy it because for some reason...
You
don't mean you mean Avon?
The skin
Avon.
Yes.
You mean Avon skin so soft.
No, I'm talking about Amway.
Oh.
Well, really? Because the Avon Skin So Soft is famous. Known,
no,
but it was
I'm talking about Amway. Reeked. Amway had a skin stuff, and people used to buy it by the bucketful.
Yeah.
By the bucketful. It's Amway. Yeah.
I started buying this. So Maureen Jerome, who I play tennis with, would always bring this stuff out called Mighty No Bitey. And I'd always say, no, Maureen, I'm using DEET. And she'd say, no, try this stuff. And she was right. That was the best bug repellent I've ever used, and they sell it up at Guido's. And they have lemon of oil eucalyptus in it.
All right. We've got the event of the season, White Fly Hatch.
This is a big deal. If you're not a fisherman, and I'm not, and I don't like bugs, but Patrick, you know, is our guide to all things fishing, and this is the time of year. If it seems like there's a lot of weird little bugs flying around, there are. It's the White Fly Hatch, and it's a huge big deal for fishermen, and it means that it's party time in the river, and it's a great time to go fishing, and he talks about that, and he talks about the lures that he uses.
All right, we will go on to the opinion pages and the editorial. Janet Sorrow on the summertime roads.
That's right. As we've seen in the pages of our paper and reported throughout the region, we've had deaths of young people this summer, tragic and too many. So, we're glad that we have the story on road safety that Bob Green did a seminar on at Lime Rock Park, and Bob also writes for us periodically as a columnist. Hands on the Wheel is the name of his column, and he wrote this week about this, and so we talk about that in the editorial as well. And the last sentence is the plea for all of us to be more careful and vigilant on the roads. I think, as Cynthia pointed out earlier, this is the time of year when the roads are in good shape. It seems fine. It's not like winter where we're, you know, very aware of the weather and road conditions, but they're dangerous, and we should all be aware of each other and how we're driving.
All right, I want to go to turning back the pages, because 25 years ago in July of 1993, you received a press release from Dennis Jackson saying that WQQQ would be coming to town. And I can tell you the exact day we started broadcasting was the first Housatonic football game of that year. We timed the station to sign on with the first Housatonic football game, which happened, of course, on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. But that was it. 25 years ago, it signed on basically in September.
And Dennis had that vision that radio would be successful here, and, you know, his legacy continues.
It does, in a weird way with me.
Right? That's really true. Would you have guessed it then?
Well, no, the legacy of Dennis and Stan and Ira and all those other people. The world works many, many, many different ways. Also, on the Viewpoint page, you've got a lot of different stories there.
Yes, we have Dick Ollis talking about the candidates for governor, and there are quite a few of them, so we'll see what happens on Tuesday after the primaries. By all means, everyone who can, go out and vote on that day. We have an interesting column by Doreen Deary from the League of Women Voters, and Doreen has been up here with us, helping us organize the candidates' forums that the League co-sponsors with us every couple of years, and we will do the same thing this year. And she writes about the mission of the League of Women Voters, relevant now as ever. Don't miss the letters, too. Lots of good ones. Susie Clayton from North Canaan is writing about the need to finish the Canaan Depot. And as Cynthia mentioned, wonderful letter from Gretchen Hockmeister and Tom Trowbridge on the Hotchkiss Library fundraising event, and world religions, what does Kavanaugh really believe? You know, a range of topics from our writers.
All right. And Peter Steiner, may I assume that when you say I should spend the rest of my life behind bars, you're just expressing your own opinion to the judge?
Yes. Those are the words. You have to see the visual to get the full effect.
It's great. It's great. All right. And before we get on to Compass, from Georgia to Maine, or from Maine to Georgia?
I actually have two nice hiking stories, actually both by Arthur this week. The Sharon Land Trust had generously offered to take us on a guided tour of a couple of their trails. So we took Arthur out last week, who's a hiker, and Quincy was out of town, so he missed it, but would have had to wear bug spray. And so we went on the Mary Moore Preserve Trail, which is a very easy hike. It's kind of straight uphill, but it's a very nice, short, easy hike, very scenic, incredible views. And he describes to you how you can find it and how you can get up it. And then he went up on Sharon Mountain. And those of you who know me know I don't love to hike, so I skipped that hike and went back to the office. But a good description of that as well, and he really loved it, and you'll be excited by it. He also went to the regional swim meet, which was held indoors. The Hotchkiss School, again, generously offered their pool. And we had three Appalachian Trail hikers. It's a tradition for summer interns to go off and meet hikers, and Quincy was out in Kent yesterday. And how'd you do yesterday with your hikers in Kent?
I did fine.
You did great? Friendly, right?
Yeah.
How's the body scent?
They smell terrible.
Okay. Right, we only have about 2 minutes for Compass.
Okay, so I'm just going to say, because Anne's not here, she does an extraordinary job, a very diverse, very interesting, very well-written. She's curating these articles so that they're very diverse and they're great. And so she's written about Cat Presents, which is coming up the weekend of the 15th. I'm unfortunately going to be in Seattle and I'll miss them, but I think Quincy's going to go to one on origami. So she's a very funny article about Cat Presents and what you can expect from it. Mars and Epworth wrote about the Tony Kushner play Homebody that's being shown at the Ankrum Opera House, and it's a portion of the longer play called Homebody Cobble. Marston makes it sound irresistible. Leanne Graham reviews the new Christopher Robin movie, and I would say you should read his review if you want to try and decide if you should go. Adam Van Doren, whose photo is in the paper, he was here at the book signing, from a local Cornwall family, of course, and his beautiful paintings of Yale University. This is the second book I think we have. There's another one that was about the gargoyles of Yale, but quite an extraordinary campus, and it's nearby. And, you know, when I go to New Haven, I go to IKEA. I should start going to Yale. Jenny Hansel, who we know loves dance, is writing about a display in Williamstown of the costumes that are worn for dance, and extraordinary. And, of course, the costumes are all about movement and beauty. And so a show of that up until November up at Williams College. Jane Eckert always has interesting things going on at her gallery. She's got a Roy Lichtenstein. She's got some Don Gummer. I think she's probably got some Eric Forsman in there, too. Yep, yeah. Eric Forsman is in there. And we've got, and Emily Gates has been so great, right? She's a local girl, grew up here in the area, has been doing extraordinary art reviews for us, and talked about a show at the school that's all based on travel, and of course Anne and her extraordinary compass, and that is that.
All right, of course, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook, and right here on Robin Hood Radio. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thanks so much.
Everybody buy the paper.
Yeah, buy the paper.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.